reports of officers, boards, and standing committees? Scott?
None.
All right. Unfinished business? None. New business, Lakeview Village Development Plan Review. Scott?
Thank you. As you may recall, last time we did the preliminary review, Lakeview Village is looking to expand the park, or the number of units in the park. And they have some property along Lake Street and along Park Street. This is the view of Park Street, where they are looking at additional 11 sites for single-wide units. And then along Lake Street, they are looking for an additional 11 units for the double-wide. You may recall the preliminary review. They had an access off of Lake Street for one of the units. They removed that, and they will be accessed off of existing interior roads and new roads that they will develop. They have approval on this side and the Park Street side. This property is currently owned and zoned for this use. This is a principal permitted use in this district. So it's basically a review of the design criteria for the MHA district that you're most focused on. Representatives from the park are here, so they can give us an overview of their plans and begin our discussion.
Okay, basically today we would like the board to look at what we've come up with the site plan and get any kind of comments or concerns that you have with what we're proposing. And hopefully we can meet any conditions that you want to see that may not be presented. I think we've tried to cover everything we could so we could make this relatively easy, I hope. And Brian Nolan is here from Benchmark. I'm Kathy Johnson, in case somebody wasn't here last time. And this is Jen Wilcox, my manager at Lakeview Village. So I guess I would just be interested in your comments or any concerns that you have so we can address them.
So Scott, is this a preliminary or is this?
No, this is a site plan review. We already did the preliminary. So you do have the option to approve the site plan tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would add that we would be appreciative of your approval.
I'm gonna open this to the public to see if anyone has any questions about this.
I think it's amazing that we're the only public here. We are from Lakeview Village.
Can I get your name and your your address, please?
I'm Terry Rosh. I have a different last name than my husband, Lee Snyder. We are both at 106. The main reason we're here or know about this is kind of coincidental. The meeting was confirmed for us thanks to Ms. Wilcox, Jennifer. But we became aware of the project or the definitiveness of the project when we were awakened one morning by a company that had come in from, I think it was Traverse City, and they were digging in the dirt with big equipment right outside of our front door. And we asked them what they were doing, and the man without a plum basically said, "Oh, we're digging to check the dirt here because these lots will be cleared here, and trailers will be put right here in front of your trailer." And of course, when we tried to talk to Jennifer about it, she's in a very awkward position. We understand at times with other kind of communications, not just this. She says she really didn't know anything about it. So to be confirmed by an outside company that something is going on is not a way to deal with a community. We are a community there, and we're part of a larger community of Point City. And I think the Planning Commission needs to understand that in doing approving a site and grading plan, which is the first time we've ever seen the specifics here, it would be helpful to understand how this impacts some of the trailers or the sites, the homes that are adjacent to the areas that would be most impacted. We've lived there what may not be a huge amount of time, but to us it has been our home during the time that we are there, and we're looking forward in the next year, since I've become disabled, to making Point City a more permanent location for us. And so that little piece of heaven in Lakeview Village has become very important to me. So I don't know what you can do other than we would like better communication before this, in general, from Ms. Johnson to our community. For example, this Thursday night, there is our annual picnic. And I would expect, and I'm sure, that something will be said to our community as a whole, announcing that this is happening.
Is that a question for me?
No, she has to question me, and I'll ask her.
But there are specific people that this will impact more. And those are the ones that I think we should have a meeting with in terms of this plan, or the plan should be released to, so that you can gather input from. I'll give you the very specific question that I asked Jennifer, or my husband did, about a week ago. We are, as tenants, required to maintain and take care of our property. For the years that we've been there, it's a meticulous environment, a meticulous community. We are asked to maintain our lawns. Our lawn and the amount of lawn that we're asked to take care of is pretty clear, which to us is our property sidelines. In terms of what our sideline is on this drawing, I don't know. We asked Jennifer, what is the sideline by which they're going to say, here is your property, and the next trailer that to be built will begin? And she basically said, it's what's the box?
Considering it's meter to meter, but since we're at the end, 106 is one of those homes, it's right at the end. There is no meter.
There's no meter. Sorry.
So part of what we're asking for is better communication. It's been lackluster, to say the least.
But the meter.
But also to find out the delineation of our lot line.
Right. So meter to meter, if they're suddenly going to say meter to meter is technically this amount of space based on other people's meters, that to me seems a little unfair all of a sudden, because we have been responsible for all these years maintaining a certain amount of space, and that includes an area that encompasses trees and grass that we've been taking care of, that I'm afraid we're going to go away now for the winter months. And we're going to come back, and those trees, before we get back here, are going to be gone. And they're going to make that space really small based on some meter-to-meter allocation that we are totally unaware of. And we're going to be locked in. And I just think that that's unfair.
Okay. Thank you. Yes?
Steve Root, 214 State Street. This isn't a battle for me, but shouldn't there be a public hearing, signs out for that, and people should come in and be able to voice their opinions so they know exactly what's going on before you vote on this?
This is not a public hearing.
But should there be one for this?
The ordinance identifies this as a principal permitted use by right, so a public hearing is not required.
Okay.
When would a public hearing be required then?
For special or conditional uses, or rezoning, or things like that.
Okay.
But this is a use by right, so a public hearing is not a requirement.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay. Any other questions?
So would you interpret that, Scott, that means this can proceed without any kind of response to someone like me and my concerns?
Principal permitted use by right. The applicant, if they submit a development plan that meets all ordinance criteria, This planning commission has no choice other than to approve it. The Planning Enabling Act is very clear that if someone has a use by right and submits a plan that meets all ordinance standards, this planning commission shall approve it. They really don't have discretion to say no if the plan meets our ordinance criteria.
So what you're saying is whatever I've just said, you can, as a planning commission, do nothing about.
They have to review the standards of the ordinance. I don't know if you can communicate some of the concerns with the property owner and address them that way, but this planning commission is limited to the ordinance standards that they have to administer.
This is the first we've seen the property owner, or there's been nothing in writing from the property owner?
Yeah, but we have no control over the property in that sense. Because it's not, it's one project.
So how will the supervisors in the minutes?
There's not a lot we can do with this. If it meets all zoning requirements, that's what we have, zoning ordinances in place. But it's something that has to be resolved within the property itself. And that's a question that they're going to have to answer. And if within being a resident at here, if there is a is there a contract or is there anything that goes along with, obviously you have rights to the area, the site lines, that's written up within that. And that's not something we really control. I know that's not what you want to hear, but unfortunately, that's just how the zoning ordinance is written. We can't dictate that part because nothing has come up that says, hey, this is a special use or this is a different use. This is the same use. So, yeah. Any other questions? Okay.
I'm just curious which house is yours on the map?
106.
Is that a trailer right there?
Yeah.
So that's,
I would say that must be ours since it's on the end.
Okay.
But that's just that's where I'm at.
Okay. Is there any other public comment? Yes.
I'm Jane McKenzie. I live at 847 West Division Street. I was here when they presented a preliminary site plan a few months ago, and it looks like that they responded to the comments we had about not having another driveway off of Lake Street. And I appreciate, there is a need for more housing in the community, and I appreciate that they are doing this to kind of help with our situation. And I also appreciate, it looks like there's going to be different price ranges, even though, again, that's not something that you guys review, but that there will be a mix of single wides and double wides. So it will affect a broader demographic of the community. And there's a difference, thrown in my two cents. What you guys do is property development, and her concern is more property management. And property management is what's in your lease with the property owner. It's not anything that you guys can do anything about. And that's all.
All right. I'm going to close this public comment and we'll open it up to the board. So has there been any, I know that's not really.
In April, we sent out a letter for our annual rent review, and we were notified of our project plans then in April.
We saw.
And then there were signs that were posted on the property that talked about the meeting that we had.
I'm sorry, you do need to address.
Okay.
You're not supposed to address anyone else in the audience. Okay. But in April,
We notified all the residents received a mailing for our annual review. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we told them of our intentions.
Okay.
And then I know that when I came for the meeting, there were signs on our greenbelt area that said there was a meeting. So it was posted by somebody, not by me. And I would like to understand where your site is. Is this your site?
Or one else? Are you talking?
I'm sorry. Do you
106.
Know where
106? Jennifer, will you show me where 106 is?
Thank you.
Okay. Then I will defer to Brian, since we want to address her concern of we're going to change her site. We're not going to change your site. We're not going to change your lawn or your trees. Am I correct in saying that?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I don't know how far
we're going
towards the street that they all want to take care of, but...
But we're not making a change to this street.
We're not touching anything on site 106.
Will you have a few homes to look at over here? That will be true.
Yes, your view is now not going to be there anymore, essentially. Whatever view you have out towards the lake there'll be a little bit of a gap, I suppose, but not very much.
Anyone else have any questions?
I have a question, Scott. This red line on the picture we have in the front of our packet, what does that represent? I'm just curious.
Red line, that is the sanitary sewer.
On this
here. Oh, well, that's the property.
So their property actually goes across Lake Street then?
It goes into the middle of it and across it and goes the other way and meets the bottom part.
That's interesting. Okay, thank you. That's why I was asking. I apologize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Kevin. Will they be adding landscaping between the houses and the roads on either site, Lake Street and Park Street?
They did show some street trees, minimal street trees. I think that probably could be added to. The ordinance requires one for 40 feet with some shrubs.
Okay.
I don't think they quite have that on the Lake Street side. On the Park Street side, I believe they have the minimal trees, but I didn't see any additional kind of landscaping along there, so that could be added. Then the one question I did have is regarding that little water, heating well or whatever on Lake Street. What are your plans for that?
The plan was to leave it flowing, and we're going to cap it off, just tie it into the storm drain and let it run into the retention area, and then the retention has a metered release in it, and so it would just...
Is there any opportunity to maybe make that like a little water feature or something?
I actually have been talking to Brian about wanting to do that. He said we could do that at any time, even after development, but if it's something... And I think we mentioned this at the previous meeting, that we want to keep that and perhaps make it a drinking fountain, or I'm not sure what exactly we could do with it, but we don't want to disturb it. We
right.
want to keep it
I think
undisturbed or make it into it like a drinking fountain. And years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that at one time there was something like that from that artesian well.
Okay.
But if it's at the discretion of the board to ask us to do something with it, we will. I don't want to harm it.
I think the intent would be to enhance it and improve it in some way and make it visually attractive and maybe useful in some way.
But I have a feeling, but it's more of a making sure that that's always an option in the future, not necessarily for this.
That would be at your discretion. I know that we wanted to have the option so we could do that.
Well, they are required to put a green belt in, and maybe if that could be incorporated as some kind of feature in that green belt, then we could, they may not have a definite plan, but maybe identify that as a condition that we need to submit something for that.
Okay.
To further respond on that, I do do see in our notes too that the necessary screening is to be determined by the planning commission. And I see in the outline it says that the proposed landscape layout is, it shows like 9 each of tree per unit on the overlay. And I guess one thing I want to reinforce in front of the planning commission is just how visual that space is on the road for a lot of different people, whether they're pedestrians or it's, you know, over on the car. There's a lot of different traffic there, I think, in a lot of different forms. I would really like to see, you know, a further expansion of the landscaping there to have both an understory kind of a shrub, both as well as a deciduous ground coverage. I think that that's really important.
And are you talking both Park Street and Lake Street?
Oh, particularly on Lake.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
I guess one, does the artesian well flow all winter?
Does it what?
Flow all winter.
I would say yes. Yeah. Right now there's a PVC piping that's above ground.
Okay. All right. Any other questions before we move on to the fact finding? I'm sorry, I did close it to the public. Scott, is there anything else that we should know before we do this?
Nothing I can think of. Okay. We'll probably, you know, discuss anything as we come go through that finding.
Absolutely. Okay, so what's there for A?
We're doing the MHP and the HPD first? Or?
Yes. Okay. The preliminary development plan approval shall be required as set forth in Article XIX, 19, yep, 19, of the ordinance followed. Following review of the preliminary requirements as written notice of approval by the County Drain Commission, Road Commission, and Local Health Agency, the Planning Commission shall notify the developer of its action within 60 days of filling the complete application review of final development plan shall occur as set forth in the State of Michigan Public Acts 19876 Act Number 96.
So this is the plan that the planning and the locals approved, and then you need to submit a plan to the state. Basically, that's all I was going to say.
Okay. All mobile B. Well, is there any questions about that? They just have to. Okay. All mobile home sites shall be provided with 2 parking spaces. 2 parking spaces are provided for each. Parking spaces may either in tandem or side by side. In tandem, the width shall not be less than 10 feet, and combined length shall be not less than 40 feet. If side by side, the combined width of the 2 parking spaces shall not be less than 19 feet of length and shall not be less than 20 feet. In either method, the length shall be measured from the curb or inner walkway edge. They provided 19 by 20 spaces provided, which fits. Then, a parking space shall be hard surfaced and shall be constructed of compliance with Act Number 8 of the Public Acts of 1973, being S125.136 of the Michigan Compliant Laws. Spaces must be constructed to meet ADA requirements. Do they?
That's what that article is requiring, and that is part of construction code. When they're in construction, you have to make sure they meet all those requirements.
Parking facilities shall not be provided for storage of mobile homes, sales offices, part of park shops. There are no sales offices are proposed.
Correct. No sales office on site.
Parking facilities shall be provided for the storage of maintenance vehicles. three-car maintenance facility proposed that was up on Park Street, correct?
Right.
Parking facility shall provide the office and a location for visitors, office visitors, seven spaces provided. Is there a minimum to that?
No.
A minimum of one parking space for every three mobile home sites shall be provided for visitor parking located conveniently, located convenient to the area served. 22 new units, seven spaces required, 11 proposed, so there's more visitor parking.
A couple of spaces are being eliminated and then some are being built, so there's a net of 11 additional guest spaces being provided.
Got it. So any questions about it? If off-site parking is provided in the bays, at the office or the facilities, there shall be in compliance with Michigan's administrative code. It's not applicable. If not provided for on-site or parking bays, a separate parking area may be provided for vehicles that cannot be accommodated within the standards set forth in these rules for the recreational vehicles such as motorhomes, travel trailers, and snowmobiles, none provided. Signs for all uses is specified in the Boyne City sign ordinance. There's no signs proposed. The tract shall be developed, to be developed shall contain a minimum of 10 acres. The site is 23.46 acres. The mobile home park shall be developed with a site average of 5,500 square feet per mobile home unit. This 5,500 square feet for any one site may be reduced by 20%, provided that the individual site shall be equal equal to at least 4,400 square feet for each square foot of land granted through the reduction of site below 5,500 square feet. At least the equal amount of the land shall be dictated as open space, but in no case shall the open and distance requirements be less than required under R125, 1946, Rule 946, and R125.1914, and R125.1944 rules in Michigan Administrative Code. 173 total units, approximately 5,900 square foot per unit. Development has over 27,000 square foot of open space. So the open space is adequate within the...
Yes.
Twenty feet from any part or attached structure of any other mobile home which is used for living purposes, all proposed units meet or exceed this requirement. 10 feet from either side of the on-site parking space of the adjacent parking mobile sites or attached structures or accessory which is not used for living purposes, all proposed units meet or exceed this requirement. 50 feet from a permanent building, all proposed units meet and exceed this requirement. 100 feet from a sports field, not applicable. 10 feet from the edge of an internal road or 7 feet from a parking bay. All proposed units meet or exceed this requirement. 7 feet from a common pedestrian walkway, all proposed units meet or exceed this requirement. 10 feet from a natural or man-made lake, object, or waterway, not applicable. Is that still... Artesian well, doesn't
it? Artesian well, thank you.
Okay. Mobile homes permit. Park buildings and facilities and other structures shall not be located closer than 10 feet from the property boundary line of the park. All proposed units may exceed this requirement. If mobile homes, permanent buildings, permanent park buildings and facilities or other structures about a public right-of-way, they shall not be located closer than 25 feet from the park boundary line. This rule does not apply to internal roads if dictated for public use, provided the roads do not present a nuisance or safety hazard to the park tenants. All proposed units meet or exceed the requirements. The road shall be hard surface. Proposed roads shall be paved. The roads shall have access to public thoroughfare by the permanent easement, which shall be recorded prior to approval. Sole access by an alley is prohibited. Existing access on two public streets. A dead end road shall be terminated with an adequate turning area. A blunt end road is prohibited. Turnaround areas provided. There's a turnaround area for the. Yes, okay. An adequate safe site distance shall be provided at intersections. Proposed landscaping in front of the maintenance garage may interfere with the westward site distance of Metal Lane intersection. Which one was that?
Looked like there's some trees that were proposed out in front of this area here. And just from looking at it, as you sit in that intersection looking down that way, those trees may hinder looking down that road a little bit.
So you'd like us to?
Probably that one right in the corner may be the biggest issue.
Okay. So the goal is not to have anything visually?
Yeah, as you're looking down at an intersection, looking left, I can see having an issue
sure.
with that tree blocking, especially if it's an evergreen or something like that.
Scott, was that the same area at the perimeter? And we had, I think, a couple of community members come in and say that there was some limited visibility. Was that that same
area? Yeah, Joe actually said that.
Yeah, okay.
That was at the entrance off of Lake Street.
Oh.
And we, okay, okay. That we took out one of the hedges, but all those hedges that are currently there are going to be gone with this development.
Okay. So we would probably ask for the landscaping at that corner with Metal Lake and the new road to be reduced enough for sight lines to
sure.
be available. All roads shall be clearly marked with appropriate traffic signs, subject to provisions of Rule 7012 as set forth by the Michigan Department of Commerce. Appropriate signs must be installed. That's just. A road shall be named and so identified by street signs located at all road intersections. Appropriate signs must be installed. Those are really on the site plans, whenever they're.
No, I imagine when you submit your plan to the state, you're going to have to have all that signage identified.
Yeah.
And then any new street names you're going to have to submit to the city and then have a little review and make sure that they're, have to look into issues.
Right.
Like that.
And that is determined, like if you submit the names of the streets, if the city doesn't already have that name,
right, yeah.
is how you.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern, as long as we don't have duplicate streets.
Sure.
So
yeah, and the name for a general vote shall be applied by the municipality. Approval of road names required. So that was just what we were talking about. So who approves that, Scott?
That would come to my office.
Okay. So pending approval?
Yes.
Okay. One way with parking 13 feet, not applicable. Two-way with no parking, 21 feet. New roads exceed 21 feet. At access points where general traffic enters or leaves the parking width shall be sufficient to permit free movement from or to the stream of traffic or public roads. No changes proposed to existing site. Mobile home park that contains 50 or more mobile home sites shall have at least one easily accessible open space area continuing not less than 25,000 square feet, including a minimum of 10,000 square feet of open space developed for active recreation activities. 151 existing sites, 22 new sites proposed, a total of 173 sites. Developments has access of 25,000 square feet, continuous open space adjacent to Lake Street community. Building proposed some additional activity, recreation facilities may be required to meet the 10,000 square feet minimum. So
there's really nothing, community center that's proposed, but that's like 2,500 square feet or something.
We wouldn't have met the state requirement to put a playground by
the new community center. I'm correct, right, Brian? So we, being that they're so close to so many parks and the water, you know, we feel that that provides what any visiting is, because the demographics of the community are primarily older families, but grandchildren come. So we did get that sign made for children playing, for the concern that the resident had that was here at the last meeting, for kids on their bikes. But we felt that given what the city offers, so close walking distance, that...
You do have that existing basketball hoop, right? And then
space
there, then.
Yeah, that's all we have.
Well, there may be an opportunity to have something like that in this new paved area where you just put it at the end and that can create a play area.
Okay.
Kind of dual use, maybe, this parking area. And then I don't know if there's any opportunities to create something.
Your thoughts?
I'm looking to see if there's some spots that we can.
The only thing is that as residents, may have concerns that the kids are playing basketball and it's too early. We can make guidelines for that for the residents and say no basketball after 10 o'clock, and same with our like noise ordinance sort of. It's a guideline, not an ordinance. But that would be my only concern, that houses that are near, and like the end of a cul-de-sac perhaps, so we could put up a basketball or in the parking area by the community building. That would be less intrusive to any of the residents.
That's what I would think.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know if there's an opportunity, maybe put some play equipment or something into that, you know.
The challenge we may have is meeting the states.
Right, yeah.
They require a certain setback, I believe.
So that's, we may require the 10,000?
Well, the ordinance states 10,000 square foot, but what is active, there's no definition of that.
Right. What is the 25,000 square foot open space?
Yeah. This area here.
Got it.
That exceeds that 25,000 square foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions or comments about that? The total of the land dedicated for open space shall not be less than 2% of the park's acreage, but not less than 25,000 square foot. 2% of the park area is 20,438 square feet. Open space exceeds that. Park surface walkways or patio connecting to the dwelling of off-street parking shall be provided. Park surface connections to parking areas provided. Each lot shall contain an area reserved for the placement of a living unit, the base construction, i.e. foundation, pads, ribbons, etc., of which shall meet the state specifications. Locations of proposed living units provided. Each living unit shall be skirted, entirely enclosed, the bottom within 30 days of its after its placement. Compliance with the standard verified at the time of placement of the units. Each living unit shall be provided with anchors, tie downs, or other devices to provide for rules 601 through 609 of Michigan Department of Commerce Mobile Home Commission General Rules. Appropriate permits and inspections must be obtained from the Charlevoix County Department of Building Safety. Mobile home parks, when adjacent to developed residential zoning districts, shall be completely screened by fencing or natural growth along the entire property boundary line abutting the district. Necessary screening is to be determined by the Planning Commission. So, how do we feel about the landscaping screening?
I feel like we're
more is necessary.
On Lake Street.
On Lake Street, definitely on Lake Street. I think because of just the density of use on that corridor.
We want it to, just so you know, we want it to look just as attractive as you do, so. I think, Brian, that we probably just felt the best for the direction to come from the board.
Okay.
On what you want.
Yeah. I think that more landscaping would be very much approved, especially on that side.
Trees and shrubbery is more.
Trees and shrubbery as well.
I think if you do like a two-story kind of approach with, you know, having full-size trees, but then also something like a mid-size shrubbery such that even in the time as those deciduous trees grow up and you have a bare trunk there, you're going to have then that piece of space, I think, and then you'll be able to see through. And I think having the shrubs would fill that up too. And I also think, you know, compared to all of the work that you've already done, I think that may be just a small add-on versus so much that you've already had in the landscape and that preliminary space here, how it's laid out on the plans we were given. I mean, just filling that in from what's already there would just be really a touch up.
And is that something that, Scott, you could approve?
I think if they follow the guidelines of the landscaping rebuild section, which specifies the number of trees per 40 feet and the number of shrubs, I think it's 4 per 40 feet, that would meet the intent of the planning commission.
Okay. All right.
I do have a question. What kind of fencing are you guys proposing along that southeast section when you butt up against that other house there? I see you got a little bit of shrubbery at the end of the street, but then it looks like...
The street and there was a fence proposed on that property line there?
No, it would be...
Similar to what you guys have.
6 foot vinyl.
So, okay.
White or passive.
Without too much see-through in it.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, I like the passive material because the maintenance on it is better. It's more expensive initially, but...
No maintenance. Low maintenance.
But low maintenance.
Yes. All right, so Scott, for the MHDC requirements, do we do them separate or do them together?
I would make a motion adopting the findings with the conditions that have identified for that, and then move on to the general consent development plan standards.
So the additions that you're talking about is reduce the landscape on metal lane for viewability, and the road names pending approval by city, and increasing the screening and landscaping on Lake Street per the green belt recommendation.
Agreement. The green belt ordinance requirements.
The green belt ordinance requirements.
And you know if you want to touch on that artesian well.
Oh, incorporate
yes. That as part of the green belt.
Anyone who makes the motion, would it?
So would that be approving the application with conditions?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll make a motion to approve our application with the conditions as important to be met.
And
about our findings, adopting these findings.
Adopting the findings. With the addition of the artesian well.
Approving the artesian well?
Yeah.
Second. Okay.
Can I make one more comment before we carry on?
Sure.
We still need to talk about the recreation space requirements because those aren't met in the plan, so we need to add into our that we're going to relieve them of that responsibility or.
Yeah, if we see that that is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I mean, I don't want a required basketball hoop just because it might fit the need. I mean, I'm an ex basketball coach. I'm passionate about basketball, but just putting a basketball court up there, basketball court or hoop to meet code doesn't quite seem right. I would be more willing to waiver that. We have a green belt in front.
Do we have that? Well, you mean take into consideration what the applicant indicated about the proximity to active recreation within the site or near the site as an intent, you know, meets that requirement.
So we have the ability to waive the requirement.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I think we should include that.
Yeah. Is that part of your motion as well?
It's a really long motion.
It is.
Yes.
They end up.
So then there would also be inclusion of waiving the additional requirement for the findings.
For the the 10,000 square foot recreation space.
Yes.
Within the open space.
Gotcha, sorry. Okay.
The community allows residents to have a portable basketball hoop.
Oh, sure.
At their, in their driveway.
Okay.
Just so you know, I mean.
That. Thank you. I have a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Got a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Ellinger?
Yes.
Thing Mountain?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Aye.
Ross?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, so the development site plan review standards. This is the... Yeah, that was just what I was going to get at. All right, in general, development plan of Northern Michigan Properties Lake View Village was proposed in 1996. The proposal development plan was amended with the development of 22 additional sites on the existing 151 for a total of 173 sites. The proposed sites would be located on the east and west sides of the existing development. The subject property is located at 526 North Lake Street and owned by Northern Properties. The property plan for the zone M HD and proposed use is the principal and permitted use of this district. Primary vehicle access to the new sites will be formed from existing interior roads from the park and exiting public access points. Lake Street and Park Street will remain unchanged.
Existing public access.
Thank you. Building design of the 22 sites, 11 of the units located along Park Street will be single wide models. The 11 units adjacent to Lake Street will be double wide units. The style and design of the units shall be typical of what is found currently in the park. Any questions about that? Preservation of significant natural features. The site does not have any significant natural features. That's not true. Wouldn't your region well be a natural feature?
It wouldn't be a significant one. A lake or a river or
got
a forest. That's something else.
Okay. Streets, no changes. Proposed to public streets. Proposed sites to be accessed by the two private streets in accordance with the standard. Access driveways, no change proposed to existing access. Emergency vehicle access. The site accessibility has been reviewed by the Boyne City Police Department, Fire Department, and Ambulance Department. What did they find? No issues. Sidewalks, pedestrians, and bicycle circulation. Pedestrian access to be developed in accordance to R25.1928 rule. 928. That's why we keep that coming.
That's 88.
I know. Barrier-free access site shall be constructed in compliance with Act Number 8 of the Public Acts of 1973, being S125.1361 of Michigan's compliant laws. Parking. Two spaces per unit with an additional 11 guest spaces provided meets ordinance standards. Loading, no dumpsters proposed. Is there any?
No dumpsters are proposed right around the
maintenance building. No, we do curbside pickup.
But not one by the maintenance building or the new garage.
Okay. Landscaping and screening. Landscaping plan provided.
So you may want to make a condition.
I Soil erosion control, soil erosion permit must be obtained if required.
It depends on the amount of soil being moved in proximity to the lake, so they'll have to...
It'll probably be required.
Stormwater management, stormwater plan provided.
They did show onsite for the five-year storm, EPW director looked at it, and we should...
Lighting fixture details and location provided.
Does the fixture details showing the plan match what's in the park now?
And about the spacing I had on the proposed sites were about the same spacing as what the lights are now.
Noise, proposed use are anticipated to produce noise that is typical to the current use. Maintenance equipment, not applicable. Signs, no signage shown on the plan. Hazardous material or waste, no hazardous material or waste. Other agencies reviewed, county permits and city wastewater and DPW approval required. Approval process.
The state.
Do we need to add that?
I just put it in there.
All right. So, I mean, findings. The only thing that we had talked about amending was increasing the landscaping on Lake Street to meet the open area.
I'm sorry. Green belt.
Green belt ordinance. And then reducing landscaping on Meadow Lane for the new building. And making sure that other agencies in review include the state permits. Looking for the motion.
I'll make a comment first.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair, I'm excited about this development. I think it, you were right when you said a community within our community is addressing housing that we've been struggling with. Our city goals, housing was right up there as a need. And you have a very well-run, good-looking community. The people that live there love the convenience. And this is going to be great that you're adding 22 units to our city need of more housing. So that's a good thing for all of us.
I'll second that motion.
So that was my comment. I'll turn that into a motion to adopt the findings of
the development site plan standards.
Development site plan review standards, findings of fact, with the amendments and or conditions as stated.
Get a motion?
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Excuse me, was Jeff Ross a second on that?
No, Scott.
Sorry. Sorry.
Or George.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay. Ellinger?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Motion carries.
We developed those additional landscape plans submitted by the meeting.
Move on to new business B, parking ordinance review recommendations.
As you may recall, we were working with Anika Norris of Camborne Consulting in regards to parking. She had three tasks. One was first to give a refresher to everyone on the parking study that was sent to him in 2018. Second was to do a specific analysis of the Lake Street plan that was submitted. This is the last portion of the contract to submit a review and recommendations of our parking ordinance criteria. And that has been provided to you. Basically, the recommendations were two. First being that the parking generation ratios that were incorporated in the parking plan be adopted for the downtown core area. I provided you that matrix that showed those. And if you compare those to the ordinance criteria, they lessen the amount of required parking in the downtown core. And then the second thing is, what exactly would be the downtown core? You can think of it as the central business district. You could think of it as the DEA district. You could think of it maybe of the CBD, the transitional commercial district. So there's some thought there that exactly what the downtown core really is or should be in the future. And then the other recommendation is that to implement the ability for a developer to purchase parking if they cannot meet those minimum standards to establish a value, as she suggested, $4,000 in space, and then allow them to purchase any spots that they cannot provide. The one thing that you have to think about with that kind of program is, if you collect this money, how are you going to use it?
Right.
A pretty detailed plan of implementation and spending of that money probably needs to be accomplished prior to incorporating that. The parking study, did include a long list of recommendations, and you could say, the funds could be used to implement some of those recommendations, but I think a more specified plan would be necessary to say, these areas here would be developed, or this money would be spent this way, or that kind of thing. They really give a good idea exactly where that money would go if it is adopted as part of the ordinance. So it's being brought to you for review of this recommendations and comments you have, and in any way you'd like to proceed forward with this issue.
Thank you, Scott.
Outside of town so much. So that's where you can use these, and there's also the opportunity to share parking, or, you know, have off-site parking and that kind of thing. You know, we're multiple users, they have one parking lot, so that's why you can think about reducing the requirements for that.
Right. And residential per unit, how does that work out with apartments? Is it per apartment, per room with that apartment?
Each would be a unit, each dwelling.
Each dwelling, so yeah. If it was a two-bedroom apartment, it would be one that's suggested?
Yeah. It wouldn't be dependent on how many bedrooms there were or anything. Just a unit would be a unit.
Okay.
So generally speaking, across the board reductions?
For the core area, yeah, it would be, you know, just looking at it, it'd probably be about 30 to 40% reduction in the amount of required parking for the downtown core area. I mean, you know, it's going to be a factor of what types of uses are, but in general, you can think about it would be less required.
Would we still have the right to waiver?
That's still in the ordinance today, so yeah, that's still a tool that you would have. But with these numbers, it would probably reflect more reality, and you probably wouldn't have to consider waivers as much. Because in my mind, this is more of the realistic thing. These are numbers developed through analysis of existing uses in downtown settings. So these is what they saw being generated by the different types of uses. And so I think you're going to have a better handle on what the reality is as opposed to our numbers in the ordinance, which really try to take into account every situation and a lot of times looking at that worst day scenario as opposed to an average.
Okay. One of the comments I would just like to make is that you know, I've supported the idea of having the city to allow for in-lieu parking, even since we had the lofts on Lake be proposed. I think that's something that's inevitable as we continue the density in our downtown district, that we need another option, like the in-lieu parking fee. Mm-hmm. So that's something that just, I definitely want to comment that I really support that, and I think we need to facilitate, the documentation and paperwork and structure as much as we can on our part to continue that. And I wonder even if such, having a single time $4,000 space in lieu fee proposed here, I wonder if that's something we couldn't even have set up, perhaps that would be after having to be renewed every 5 years or something. I think that that space will only become more valuable as it's not.
Typically, when you develop any kind of value for anything in the ordinance, it's to be determined by the city commission. So they review that annually as part of the budget. So if you don't put the number in the ordinance, then you have to amend the ordinance every time you want to change the value. So you identify a value determined by the city commission. So each year they can adopt the budget, and if it needs to be changed, they can adopt it as part of that process.
In the ordinance, isn't there already something about a parking fund or?
Yeah, there's the parking improvement fund, but that's tied to a specific district.
Got it.
That district has never been adopted or identified. This is a different tool altogether to allow that, as just for everywhere, to purchase those lots, spots, and then the city would take that money and develop parking in accordance with their plan.
And one of the things that she had mentioned was that the more the city had control of the parking in downtown, actually the better, because then we could
have
more control over what's going on.
Right.
So that would be passing that responsibility on to the city anyways.
Yes.
Okay.
There was also in the study a lot of recommendations that we have not implemented yet. Better signage, better lighting, better communication to get employees to the park elsewhere. Designate an enforcement type officer. I mean, there's quite a few steps.
So the question is that where does downtown start and end?
Right. What is the downtown core?
For these recommendations, that was delineated in the yellow lines, right?
Right, that was what she used for the study purposes.
Right.
We want to think of something different. Like, you know, it's always been kind of the vision to expand the downtown more along Lake Street. So, you know, to include that as part of the core area would, you know, make sense. So that's, you know, the DDA district is kind of big. It takes up, you know, it goes all the way up to the boat launch. And I think that's a little large for the core.
Well, I think including the transitional district would be smart.
Yeah.
Just because it can flux it. And anything past that, I don't think is necessary.
So, yeah, that would... And basically, a Vogel, they take in the existing CBD district and these blocks here between Lake and Park.
So it would be advantageous to include Family Fair just because we'd have control in the future. I mean, Vogel makes sense because it's a border. But then you have, you also have the businesses in front of the old Walmart. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, what's that zone?
Here, that's a general business zone.
Okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So that's the transitional there. That's the general there. This is the central business district here, so basically what I'm hearing is the core would be this transitional and the existing central business district.
I think that would be a good piece to have to work on this, but then. So how would that work on anything outside of it?
The existing ordinances will still apply.
Got it. Okay.
We change just the calculations.
Just that core. Okay. So, so at some point we would ask you to write this up to make it understandable how it would be.
So that's the step we're at right now is if you endorse, move it forward. Can direct me to develop some language and put it in the ordinance that would implement this in some way. I'm not quite sure how I would do it yet, but I didn't think about that. So I can bring that back and review that language next month.
Okay.
And once we figure that out, then the other ordinance changes we talked about, we can bring them back and have a public hearing and move this process forward.
I think it would be very important to have a public hearing on parking specifically.
Okay.
Just because people are so passionate about it.
Yeah.
We tried. We had 3-4 meetings, nobody showed up.
I know, but we have to keep on trying. See it written out to see what I mean.
I agree with you on a public hearing on the parking, but then same with them. I mean, we're just, we might get the same what we're going to get them, but
I don't know anything about parking. You
won't.
We'll do a full house about parking.
Well, but we did have a parking.
Yeah, we did. We had a number of meetings on parking.
Yeah.
And no one showed up.
We had a meeting where we had both the City Commission and the Planning Commission there, and we had almost every member of the board, and we had 2 or 3 people, and so. I know.
So I will draft some language to implement those recommendations. Were there any comments on Annika's report at all? Anything you thought maybe she should have touched on or would like to see? This was done with a contract through the Michigan Municipal League and was provided as a technical service at no charge to us through our certification as a redevelopment ready community. So they would like any feedback that we would have on the report.
So if this were to go through, like, and they get their parking per se, as a city, we have to find somebody to enforce parking rules, or?
That was one of the recommendations, would have a full-time parking enforcement officer. Right now, the city police department enforces the parking, but, you know, it's a low priority for them, and it's basically done on a complaint basis. You know, they're not around marking tires and you know, doing that kind of thing.
And yeah, I mean, it should be this complaint basis.
And it seems to work pretty well.
So we probably just kind of utilize that same aspect until we get bigger?
I mean, I don't think there's a justification for spending the funds for that kind of position at this point in time.
Agreed.
But what about the in-lieu parking? Are we including that in the language?
Well, I can bring back some language and a draft map that would show that. So yeah, that would be part of our next discussion. And then if you want to move it forward, then we can set that up.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
So the whole idea there is you give a developer a tool to circumvent, well, or not circumvent the ordinance in terms of like, but give them a tool to consider if they can't find space on their property to develop parking. Or will take away from their ability to develop a property.
Or you talk about the...
in-lieu parking is basically it gives them an alternative.
It gives them an alternative to pay the city to develop parking in some other way that they can't do on site.
Right. Scott, are you aware of any plans to develop any municipal parking down in the open space area?
Actually, that's not an option.
Yeah.
The seller of the property put a number of restrictions on it, and that was one of them. So it's very limited what parking can be put on that site.
I think 22?
If that, I mean, it wasn't very big. It was, at the north end area there.
Kind of where the bathrooms are or whatever?
Yeah.
Wasn't there some more talk of some developing some parking right here? I'm sorry, just past your head.
On this site?
Not on this site, but when we were talking about the dentist's office, I thought that we were talking about that there was some talk.
We would analyze North Street expansion of North Street, but the dentist chose not to put the six condos above, so there's really no need to expand parking.
Right.
On North Street.
But that is an option.
Well, it's always a conversation anytime the city looks at redeveloping a street, you know, improving that, developing parking where those opportunities are. So that's always a consideration in any new road project. So, you know, I'm not sure when this road would be redone.
Right.
But if it is, that would definitely be part of the conversation.
One of the thought, though, is that in-lieu parking is, I think there should be a restriction as to a cap as to how many that they're allowed to do that with, personally, because I mean.
Well, I agree on that topic. So if Stiggs came in, we waived all parking for Stiggs because they have no property.
But we also saw that there was public parking that surrounded the entire property.
Yes, you had the parking in front of the co-op, you had the parking, which is library parking. And actually, the parking right there with Stiggs is city-owned. So should they be penalized by paying into when actually they're surrounded by city parking? I mean, there's two ways.
Sure. But
the other side.
Yeah, the other side is they're benefiting from the city subsidized parking, and should they share that cost?
Sure.
And I think that's no way. They should be, just like anybody else would be to a
city. Exactly.
Because the city's having to maintain the lot, so on and so forth.
It's still money out.
Well, okay, business on Water Street doesn't own any private property.
That's right.
No. From Ace Hardware to Mather's Ford, I mean, everything, you park, angle parking on Water Street.
Right.
So, I mean, are we going to say that every business is, in the future is going to start paying in? And that's, you do, I,
well, if
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Right, right, but if it changes zoning.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless there's a change in use, there's no reason they ever sit in front of us. Right? I mean, unless they're looking for a significant change in use from what's a.
Right.
So, right, so if Ace Hardware turns into a restaurant with apartments above.
Yeah.
Would they have to pay in?
Yeah.
Seems like that's the direction we're going.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I want to go there, but I'm looking at the
language. Well, like you said, we're trying to give developers a tool to make it a little bit more, to give them options when there isn't the ability to create parking.
And at this point, I just really want to see what it, what it sounds like, what it looks like, and really talk about it from there. Because right now, it's still just kind of a concept up there.
Sure.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of folks are grandfathered in on things that don't need ordinance, and
okay,
if they ever made a change, they'd have to pony up and need ordinance. And that's basically what we're talking about. If we add this in lieu parking plan, you're just not going to be grandfathered in anymore. I mean, does that seem legitimate? Just talking out loud, sorry.
Yeah. I think that when we start to see it done, we'll really discuss. But yeah, no, I think.
But we still have the tools to, I mean, we don't have to require that. We still have the tools according to, we're not taking the language out that gives us the ability to waive those requirements.
Yeah, you can still waive.
We're just giving developers a tool.
I mean, you can use both of the tools if they're there.
Right, waive a certain amount and say,
whatever.
Right, right, find that speed somewhere in the middle kind of situation.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions or comments?
Just an overall comment on the recommendations. I think Annika did a great job of just making the recommendations very specific and tangible, such that it wasn't like, oh, just make, you know, they were generic, you know, but they were really tailored to our community. And I think that was some of the feedback that you
She also picked recommendations that are very understandable, because they had a lot of recommendations, which I liked a lot of them, but there's stuff that we can implement later as well.
Exactly.
And I personally feel very strongly, I don't think this is an ordinance-related thing, but I really feel strongly that the city as a whole should take in a series of counter-recommendations on signage and wayfinding in our town, because there needs to be more identity so that when people come to visit, they know where they're going, they know where things are. I mean, we have a little bit, but you know, you travel around the city and visit some communities, it's pretty amazing how easy it is to actually find your way around. And I don't feel like we're there, you know.
Right. But then that comes to where do we fit into our budget?
Well, I understand.
But we'll get that.
So, right, exactly. I mean, maybe some of this money attributed from Emily Parkman could be attributed to that, or I think it's important when we're talking about this, these recommendations that were made to us, that should be a high priority for us.
All right.
That's just my opinion.
I agree, signs are good.
And expensive.
It's the development of them.
However, straight out of our city manager's mouth, there's plenty of money. In case you read the article on the trail.
All right.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. So Scott, can I have an idea? You'll be able to for our next meeting have some language.
You should be able to grasp something.
Perfect.
We'll hear you, and then if you feel comfortable, we can
move forward and have a public hearing. Okay. All right. Let's move on to C, recommendation of planning commission appointment.
We did get one application for, it wasn't in your packets, but it was in your email, for our opening after Mr. Kozlowski left, and that was for Monica Kunde. She had a previous engagement, couldn't come to the tonight's meeting, but did indicate that she definitely was very excited about the opportunity. I've known her for a while, and she did serve on the Evangeline Township Planning Commission, and she's a library director, so definitely, I think, a good person that would be a good fit for this board.
Okay.
your recommendation as you see.
Absolutely. She lives in town now, huh?
She does live in town now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she's lived in town for long enough to be on the board.
Cool, cool. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Huh? Monica, I know her fairly well too, and she knows her stuff. And I think she'd be a very good asset to this board.
Well, she's always been very enthusiastic. She talks at the meetings, so yeah. I'd be willing to make that recommendation.
So Jeff's made the recommendation.
I'll make a motion to recommend her to the commission. I've got a motion.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Ellinger?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Abstain.
Place?
Yay.
Ross?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I never got to see your application.
I understand.
So?
No, I appreciate that.
I didn't know she was there, actually.
She didn't get an application, she doesn't know her.
Yeah, I don't know.
So she felt like it was within her to abstain, and I agree.
Scott, I didn't see that come from you or Pat.
I didn't even know, I actually.
It came in the email.
Yeah.
I didn't get one this week.
From what address would that have come from?
It would have come from my address.
I usually get the email.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get one.
That was gone until.
Okay.
So it came from me.
Okay.
It was a addition to the initial packet, so.
Okay.
Scott, staff report?
We should have gotten an email from you regarding training on September 30th.
Is it 30 or 29?
It's a Monday night.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In Petoskey, right?
In Petoskey.
Yeah, in Petoskey.
It's actually convenient.
This training is free. It's being provided by the MEDC through our RC assistance. I highly encourage you to go. You need to sign up by September 6th. It looks like they have some very specific planning commissioner training, so I thought it was very, it would be very helpful, given we have some new members here, so please do.
And definitely let us know if you can't. And then if you have any questions or something that you're specifically looking for, I'm definitely going. I can definitely bring back any information to try and.
I'll be there.
I'm already registered.
Yep. So it's the 30th, right?
Yep.
So it's September 30th.
September 30th.
Yeah, we're going to have another meeting before that, but we won't have another meeting before you have the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Registration deadline is the 6th.
I'm a terrible procrastinator this time.
They may send you a text.
And they may have limited site spots, so please sooner rather.
As soon as I get home.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
As soon as you get home, again.
All right. Anything else, Scott?
Well, that's all I have.
Go to the order. Summers. Dwindle a little man.
It is a little quiet in the evenings.
It is. It is.
How long does school degrees go for?
Later, I think. All right. Anyway. All right.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right.
Curse.